Psalms are meant for singing. So if I was going to sing Psalm 32, I would use my favorite style of music, which, in case you don't know, is blues. Yeah. So I took some of the thoughts of Psalm 32 this week, not the entire thing, and I wrote a song. In the Message version of the Bible, instead of the line, "Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered," it says something more like, "Happy is the one who has a clean slate," or "whose slate's clean." I'm far from perfect, so much isn't seen, and trying to hide it makes my body careen. My strength is failing, I need relief. And you forgive me, help me heal from this grief, slate's clean. Slate's clean. There's anger inside me, and it's troubling. I'm trying to hide it, and it's doubling. Oh, I need some healing, more strength for today. To soften this anger, let it float away. Slate's clean. Slate's clean. Oh, show me direction. I'm finding my way. I've got my agenda. I don't know who's to say. But I'm open to guidance. And maybe a shove. I'll keep my eyes open for wisdom and love. Slate's clean. Slate's clean. Slate's clean. Slate's clean. Played that for my dad earlier this week, and then he said, "Are you all right?" And you know, it's funny. The song is, I mean, it's based on Psalm 32, but when you're writing music, when you're writing anything, there's a personal story that weaves through it. And is everything in this song describing everything that goes through my head? No, but there's a little bit of emotion poured into that, and you can feel it. You can feel that. And I wonder if, you know, maybe you've got some of the same feelings sometimes that go through that. So, happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose slate is clean. There's a lot of emotions in Psalm 32. Sad, happy, hopeful, depressing, soul-lifting. Takes you on this journey. It's even complete in all that. It's complete in letting you experience the emotions and take a time to rest, to pause and think. See, there's this musical clue, musical cue. Did you read have the Bible open during the reading? This is a good chance to do this. Take your Bibles and open them to Psalm 32. Oh, wait. Here we go. I'll pause and think while you find Psalm 32. It's pretty much right in the middle. One line. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. And then there's this word, Selah. And then you are a hiding place for me, you preserve me from trouble, you surround me with glad cries of deliverance. And then there's that word again, Selah. Selah is not a word to be read aloud. Jan didn't read them aloud, and so if you're looking along, you're like, "What? Wait, what's that? Why isn't she saying that?" Selah is, it's a time to pause. It's a time to think. It is something that communicates, there is nothing more to say at this moment. How many of you saw the movie Eddie and the Cruisers? This is a long way back, 25 years probably. Great, you know, song. It had that Springsteen-ish flavor, but it wasn't Springsteen. It was the Beaver Brown Band that did that. John Cafferty, I think. And, no, not John Cafferty, but Beaver Brown Band. Anyway, there's a moment in this song, in the movie. I can't remember the exact subject matter, but there was something like, I walked down the street and I saw her and she was beautiful. Something like that line in a song. And they read it like that, and the main character said a profanity. He said, it sounds awful. And then they read it with a French term attached to it called césure, which is a lot like Selah, which is a pause. There is nothing more to say at this moment. So then he read it. He said, I was walking down the street, and I saw her, and she was beautiful. That pause, that moment of silence, that time to think really changes the character. Then the main character in the Eddie and the Cruisers movie said, yeah, tell him about the Caesarean. He got the word wrong, but it was kind of funny there. Selah, like césure, time to pause, to think. It's a reminder to stop and to contemplate the moment. It may be a cue for silence. It may be a cue for to just soak in that moment. It might be a cue for the choir or the congregation or an instrument to play sort of an interlude or to sing a response. Whatever it is, though, Selah changes the tempo just for a moment. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. Lent is a good time to change that tempo. It's time to contemplate. It may be a time for silence. Maybe a time to just soak everything in. Maybe a time to breathe or even to sing. It's a time to pause. And if during Lent, all of this pausing and all of this changed tempo seems to be the thing that you need a changed tempo from, here's your loophole. Remember, Lent is 40 days minus the Sundays. So, If you're changing tempo all throughout there and you're like, I need some difference from my difference, take Sunday and do that. So if you're really quiet all these days of Lent, on Sunday you can get really loud. Or if you're really loud all of these days of Lent, on Sunday you can get really quiet. And if you're really introspective all the days of Lent, maybe Sunday is a day to be more expressive. However you experience the change in tempo for Lent, the pause, the contemplation, all of it is a chance, like the Selah communicates, to soak it all in. Although I really like that other flavor of it. There is nothing more to say at this moment. So, during Lent, a time of Selah, of there is nothing more to say, a time of pausing and thinking. Does that include thinking about dried up strength, like the psalmist says, when you're feeling guilty? Does that include confession? Does that include trusting in a hiding place, a place of safety and trouble? Does that include looking for new ways to see things? How can I view the world? How am I interacting with people around me? How am I soaking in the beautiful opportunity, life. So, how are we going to live with a changed tempo in this Lenten season? The slate's clean. Selah.